My name is Justin Balava. I'm also known as Leha on the Wing Commander CIC board. And with me today is Benjamin Lesnick, also known as Bandit Loaf, and Chris Reed, appropriately remembered as Chris Reed on the forums. And we also have Goku in the background somewhere. Kenan?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure everybody knew you were there. I guess we're doing a retrospective. We've decided to go back through the old infoburst that the CIC did once in a great while, and we're revisiting some of the old questions that were once asked of Loaf and Chris a number of years ago. How long has it been, guys?
It was 14 years ago. These were the this was the infoburst we posted when the site started, which will be 14 years ago the day people hear this.
Which will be 2 days from now.
2 days from now, yes.
We did this about 14 years ago today.
Oh, God, I feel old all of a sudden. So I guess we should just jump right into it. Loaf, Chris, what was your first Wing Commander experience?
My first Wing Commander experience? Well, this won't have changed since the original podcast. I was living in France in 1990, 91, and a friend of mine had a pirated copy of Wing Commander. And we spent all our time trying to randomly guess what the copyright questions were. And he wasn't a very good software pirate. But eventually we did get in once. I think it was the Maniac's age question, because that's the one you can kind of guess. You figure he's in his 20s. But that was the first time I played Wing Commander 1. It absolutely blew me away.
It only takes 250 tries to guess how fast you need to drive in the asteroid field.
Chris, I mean,
yeah, I have to, I guess my answers shouldn't change unless my memory is gone and I'm misremembering, so it's going to be one of two because I have a split first Wing Commander experience. So I actually kind of got Wing Commander 1 and Wing Commander 2 at the same time. Wing Commander 2 I got and on a new 486, played the hell out of that. And then shortly thereafter, a bit later, I got Wing Commander 1 on the Super Nintendo. So I'm very, very fond of that original Super Nintendo version, even though it's a bit different and a little bit more limited than the PC version. I'm tied to that one, although Wing Commander 2 edged it out by a bit.
I remember actually my very first experience with Wing Commander, before I didn't actually play it at the time, was I guess when I was 9, 10 years old, I was obsessed with World War II games. Those old LucasArts flight games, Battle Hawks, and what was the other one? Battle of Britain, Finest Hour. And I guess I was waiting for Secret Weapons of the Luftwaffe to come out, and I would go in and I would ask the guy at... was it Babbage's at the time? Is it out yet? Is it out yet? To the point that he would just know when I came in and say, no, it's not out yet. at some point, I think I was supposed to get a video game for my birthday, and that was the game I wanted. It wasn't going to be out for months, and my dad said, well, let me just get Wing Commander. That's really popular. And I was so mad at him for some reason. I didn't want Wing Commander. He had read about it, I guess, in Jerry Purnell's Byte column. He was a big advocate of the original Wing Commander. So that was my missed opportunity.
I was very computer challenged when Wing Commander 1 came out. I got a hot computer in 1987 to play Space Quest 1, and still had that computer in 1990, 1991, and wasn't until I made the big step up to a 486 that I could really play Wing Commander games.
Now, it was the opposite for me. My dad worked for IBM. We had one of the first 386s off the line, PS2s. But my parents absolutely would not let me have a console. My mother would just repeat that it was a Japanese plot to rot American minds. And I'm not sure to what degree she believed that, but she sure said it a lot. And it was kind of sad, like 15 years later, when she got my much younger sister her first GameCube. It was like she'd given up. But no consoles for years for me for that reason.
I have nothing to say to that. Okay. So you guys obviously have a lot of time logged in with Wing Commander. What made you go the extra step and start the Combat Information Center, WC News?
Okay, well, this is where I think we can differ from the original podcast, because we can finally tell the actual story. I think at the time we were like, oh, we love Wing Commander, we're huge fans. And you know, that's obviously true. We do love Wing Commander. We're still here. The actual story is that the site we were working for from 1995 to 1998, Wing Commander Home Sector, belonged to another guy, Dan Akbar Hardwick, who was kind of a, what would you say, jerk.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's kind of a loose term. I vaguely remember him.
He wanted all sorts of ridiculous things. He wanted us to work for some other gaming company promoting their weird space MMO, which there's now no record of on the internet anywhere. I'll occasionally figure out what the name was, and there's like no Google hits for it. He wanted to do advertising. He refused to let us have a chat board for whatever reason. And eventually he just disappeared, and we took over the site entirely. But we wanted to get out from under that. And leading up to the release of Secret Ops in 1998, Neil Young, yes, that Neil Young, president of Origin, and on IRC, his nickname was Neely, he came to me, Chris, and Eagle One, the guy who ran the Wing Commander chat room, and he said, how would you guys like to do the official fan site and the official fan IRC for Wing Commander? We're going to tie it in to promote Secret Ops. And we said, yes, absolutely, but we don't want to just copy our current site, we want to start a new one. And they said, okay, and we got into that.
So if you remember back in 1998, Secret Ops was a huge, huge, huge thing on the internet. And so it came out in August 1998, and there was a banner across the top. And it was a link out to the Wing Commander Prophecy website and also a link to WC News. So that was our WCNews.com, and that first day we opened, the Secret Ops launch day, we got over 10,000 people that came by, which was big numbers in 1998 for the internet. As much as I don't want to give Akbar credit, because I know he'll hear this because he comes to the site every day and checks what we're doing. Many, many things that we do today, do derive from our experiences in 1996, 1997 on that previous Wing Commander site. So many principles we have, about not advertising, not being skeezy, basically, not posting the obvious April Fool's joke that there's a new Wing Commander game coming. All of these ridiculous things that he did back in the day, we don't do because of our history in the mid-90s. And that still sticks with us today.
That's true. Daily updates are one of those things that he was against at first for some reason. It's hard to figure why he was the way he was about a lot of things. I think he had some sort of vision that introspection, whatever introspection was, would be his brand, and he'd run all sorts of gaming newsletters and sell it to people, and I don't know. Didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't remember him being very, personable would be the word. I don't know. There was just something, there was a disconnect there. I don't know what it is. But going on with that last question, what exactly do you guys do at the CIC? I mean, is it just maintenance? Is it just watching the board, make sure you don't get spammers? I mean, what is it?
Well, it's all just like parties and just rolling in money and everything you can imagine.
Yeah, I actually have a royalty check here from Electronic Arts for 25 cents, which is all the money they've ever given us, if future historians would be curious to know that. Origin did pay for our posting for the first year or so, and it's all been out of pocket for us since then. We were actually hosted on the same site as Ultima Online, And when the Wing Commander movie trailer came out, we put up the 40 meg video of it, which was an impossibly giant file for the time on the internet. This was late 1998, I think. And it took down Ultima Online entirely. They were not happy about that.
Yeah, people freaked out. Yeah, which we were, you know, at that time, 16 years old or whatever, and we freaked out a little bit too. But they didn't, you know, revoke our hosting or anything. We still continued for some months, year or whatever, to have the site.
Yeah, and actually a couple of years after that, I went to the Ultima Online World's Fair, and there was a session hosted by the guy who had been our server contact, the guy who had, you know, told us we'd done something terrible when that happened. And I it was me and this room full of like 40-year-old women who ran Ultima Online Guild websites. And they were asking all the questions that you expect 40-year-old women who run Ultima Online Guild sites to ask. You know, how come their site gets the top 3-tier link from Origin and mine only gets lower part of the page and so on and so on? And the guy was clearly incredibly fed up, and then he saw me in the audience and he said, "Oh my god, it's Ben Lesnick from WCNews.com. This guy runs the single best Origin fan site." And then there were a lot of very angry women staring daggers at me.
Definitely casting you into the wolves.
Did we ever answer the question, what do we do for the CIC?
No, I think we kind of went around that.
Everything. Today I wrote like 7 birthday updates. I had to play Super Wing Commander for 3 hours to grab screenshots of all the ships for a feature I'm doing. I have emailed with 2 different people at EA who have various projects they're working on. What, one's an Ultima project, so don't think there's a secret Wing Commander game. I emailed Ginger Lynn.
Based on what you said just there.
It's a whole lot of stuff. We do a lot of motivating the community, and we get the message boards alive again when they're fading. It's everything you can think of.
I don't think. Yeah, I mean, nobody understands the depth of things that Loaf does on a daily basis, making connections with former Origin people and EA people, and bringing them together to make things like the good old games re-releases happen, and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of behind the scenes, you know, motivating of, you know, the Wing Commander brand that happens. A lot of what I do is just making sure the front page has something on it every day so that everybody knows that the Wing Commander community is alive and there's somebody out there that also is dedicated to Wing Commander and also is thinking about Wing Commander every day. So don't go anywhere. Don't let Wing Commander leave your mind. It's, you know, it's still here.
And the proof is in the pudding there. We still get the same number of people visiting the front page every day that we did in 1998, 99, 2000, when there was a new movie and a new game. So, and we haven't built an incredibly giant modern audience, but we've kept pretty much exactly the same one all these years.
Yeah, it's very, very incredible that, you know, the traffic numbers for 2012 are higher than the 2002 traffic numbers. It's crazy. It's great.
All right. I'm actually really surprised to hear that, because sometimes, I mean, like you said, sometimes there's lulls in the chat or whatever, but it's good to hear that people are still pinging the front page.
People come to the site every day.
Wow.
Honestly, one of the problems with the chat is we're kind of older now. We don't court the same controversy. You get a lot more hits when you're screaming at people, honestly. And we just don't do that anymore.
And you can only have the same argument, you know, 100 times before we just start talking about other stuff. And so,
no, I can keep having that argument.
Well, I mean, how many times do we argue about, you know, Blair's fate? Or, God, what were the other ones that were hot topics back in the day? I can't
Blair's
remember.
Blair's Fate was solved in Pilgrim Truth, if anyone would bother to read it.
Yeah.
It's wonderful when you do get new people, and you do from time to time when they are the Wing Commander movie on TV. You know, new people come into the fold and ask those questions, and it is really nice to hear see those and have those discussions again.
Yeah, it's definitely nice when, you know, they go back and they bring up an old question or something, and it's not just instigating.
In general, the internet's a lot less Wild West these days.
Yeah. Okay, running with that thought, how's the typical day go with you guys? Do you get up in the morning? Do you sit down with your cup of coffee and look at the site first thing? Or do you go to work and then go back? Or
okay, that was not a leading question, but I have a good story about coffee.
What a coincidence. I do get up in the morning.
Yes, I do get up in the morning. No, my completely shoehorned in story is that right after we started the site, they invited me down to Origin to, I guess it was right after Secret Ops came out, because they had the strike team stuff on the wall, and like a day later it was canceled. But they invited me down to Origin to see the place and meet everybody and so on. And so I came down, and I was supposed to meet our PR contact, Boomer. Mike McCoy was his actual name. And he wasn't there. He wasn't at Origin yet. I guess people didn't come in until like 10 if they didn't feel like it. But at least he didn't. He didn't last long at Origin, by the way. But anyway, he wasn't there. And the secretary, I mean, I was 16, 17, but I've always looked a little bit older. And I was, you know, absolutely terrified that I was here to meet my heroes from the internet, and they were going to realize I was a kid and so on. But so the secretary was like, oh, you want some coffee? And I was like, no, I'm okay. And she kept offering. So eventually I said, yeah, I will take some coffee. I said, okay, well, here's a cup. Go get it from that machine. And I went to, you know, I'd never had a cup of coffee in my life. I swear this is going somewhere. I go to the coffee, I don't even know what it is, dispenser, coffee maker, and I put the cup up to it, and coffee spews all over the rug. Not the rug, it was not a rug, it was a tiled floor, if that matters to the story. It does not. She said, oh, I'm sorry, I gave you one of the cups that was too big. It begs the question, why do they have the cups that are too big? But anyway, she said, I'll make you a cup. And I said, okay. She said, well, how do you like your coffee? I'm like, how do you like your coffee? I was 16, I had absolutely no idea how anyone likes their coffee. But I thought of characters on TV, and the only expression I could think of was that they had their coffee black. So for the rest of the day at Origin, as I met the guy in charge of Wing Commander? Andy Hollis and Captain Johnny and so on, I was nervously clutching this cup of coffee. It was absolutely disgusting to me. I spilled it in Andy Hollis's office. I spilled it in Raph Koster's office. I have never been able to drink coffee again, was the point of that story. In fact, a couple of years ago, we went down to EA, or up to EA Vancouver, EA Burnaby, to talk about Arena, and I figured, okay, I'm going to try it this time. And nope, I clutched another cup of black coffee all day. What was the question?
So, yes, that's how a typical day goes for Lowe.
Yeah.
Spills coffee all over the place.
That's right.
Day in my life. I have a pretty boring job. I work for a school system doing basically PR, and it gives me a lot of time to screw around with Wing Commander stuff, which I do all day, and then I come home and do more of that. Chris will have a very interesting story.
not more interesting, just a more typical day. I wake up about 4:30 in the morning, go to work, and I work for Boeing, and it's a real hectic place. I don't really get time to take lunch a lot of days, and I see thousands of pre-CIC birthday emails flying across my phone, and everybody sounds like they're working really hard. And
it's just me.
sounds like Love's working really hard. And, yeah, I see that from afar, and I work about 12 hours a day, and then I come home, and Actually, every day I still make sure that there's something on the front page, and if there's not, I will stay up until we find something, and then I go to sleep. Typical day.
Wow, that's sounds like a lot of work on both your parts.
Yeah, that's all we've known since we were 16.
Well, that kind of answers the next question. How long have you been active in the Wing Commander community?
I was first active in the Wing Commander community in 1993 on CompuServe, which was one of those kind of pre-internet services. You know, there was AOL, there was Prodigy, CompuServe, and
it's funny that you have to explain what CompuServe is, but
it is. And I guess in modern parlance, it was a walled garden of content. But each one kind of basically formed their own Wing Commander club.
That is predates the Web 1.0.
Yeah. I was part of the, I don't even remember if it had a name. It was like the Privateers Mercenaries Guild or something on CompuServe. And I remember everybody, there was a Microsoft note cards file they had where everybody would submit the note card with their pilot to it. That isn't even an app in Windows anymore, is it?
No, it isn't.
And I had the most kills, and for whatever reason, my brother would go around bragging to people at Babbage's that I had the most kills in Privateer on the CompuServe. Really, you could just make up any number you wanted. After that, I did a bunch of those 10 free trials on AOL, and I would always have my name be some obscure Wing Commander thing, like I was Kevin Tallwin once or something, and there wasn't, or at least I didn't understand how the chat rooms worked, so I would just hang out at the random chat AOL, like teen chat and whatever, until I found someone with a Wing Commander reference for a name, and it happened a couple times. It was a different world. Then I got on the regular web as it was coming up. Started reading, but not posting to the news group, altthatgames.wc3, and later altthatgames.wingcommander. And then Origins Chat Zone, which was what got me active, and where I got the Bandit Loaf name and personality, and it's all history from there. And Chris will tell us now.
Yeah. So let's see. I lost my notes. Okay. So Loaf's got me beat by a couple years. So I started in the AOL area, keyword Origin in.
Origin.
Yeah, keyword Origin in April 1995. So that puts it at about 17 years being a part of the online Wing Commander community. Where I really got involved was in the news group that Loaf mentioned in about June 1996. And I posted a lot. I tried to reply to as much as I could. I had more than 27,000 posts over the span of about 2 or 3 years. So I don't know what the math is, but there were days easily I posted over 100 posts. And a post, it's hard to describe. It's not the web. If you're not familiar with Usenet from the day, but basically they're just like message board posts. So I was pretty busy, 100 posts a day, and you know, with researching stuff in the books, and it took some time. Don't have time like that anymore, but that's how I started.
Yeah, Chris was definitely the Usenet guy, and I was the Origins Chat Zone guy, and never the twain did meet.
That's right. That's right. They essentially were the same thing, but very, very different pieces of the internet. And yeah, that's funny. We did not really interact with each other in that time frame, and it was Akbar that brought us together. As horrible as that is.
I it's kind of scary, but we can't explain what Usenet is to anybody who is too young to not be there anymore.
I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, it's man, I only messed around with it a bit. Yeah.
I think it became some kind of thing for Europeans sending each other pornography, and they still do it, but it's not the Usenet that it once was. And it's a shame, because there was this really vibrant Usenet culture in the early mid-90s that's just completely lost now. Not even our stuff. We were basically kids with playing video games, but the generation right before us was, you know, rocket scientists and physicists and all the people who happened to have internet through their graduate school in 1991, and they formed really cool communities.
Yeah, and this is a terrible way to describe it, but the closest thing it'd be is maybe if you can imagine just like Twitter hashtags as a way for people who don't even know each other but are having kind of like the same discussion and the same, you know, conversation in the internet, but much more organized or smarter discussion, real actual discussion. But yeah, you'd have people from everywhere, and it wouldn't be just like going to a website and joining that. It was just the universal discussion. There was no registration. There was no moderation on the message board. And, you know, can't even imagine that now.
Yeah, it was a totally different world. I mean, I only have vague memories of it. And you're right, it was a lot like Twitter, except you were allowed to write paragraphs. It wasn't just like 160 characters. How did you get where you are now in the community? Is it just time served? Is it something else?
You know, I was actually having this discussion with Chris Roberts recently, and I just wanted to brag about that because
Chris Roberts, about community. Who was that?
Yeah, he was asking about community building, and there's actually a lot more science to it than it looks like. You know, modest 1998 loaf would tell you, yeah, we just got lucky, and no, there's a lot of science to it. Building up a personality, convincing the fandom that they should, you know, believe in themselves. You know, I wonder if I should even admit this to people, but stuff like all the stuff with free space, there was a science to getting them to fight other communities to know that they were better than them. Which you don't do so much anymore, but it builds everybody up. Stuff like the birthday. I mean, you know, we spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars and hundreds of man hours every year just having this event because we know there needs to be that event to bring the community together.
We already talked about the daily updates. You know, the daily updates is a big thing. You know, there were a lot of Wing Commander news sites back in 1996, 1998. The CIC was a latecomer, and it was always a thing in the back of my mind that we arrived so late to the party, and, you know, everybody else was, you know, we had a bigger foundation. But every one of those sites is gone because they just weren't as dedicated to the cause. They didn't do the daily updates, and they didn't continue doing all of the things that I guess we never stopped doing.
Not to brag, but Chris and I absolutely are the experts. Chris Reed and I absolutely are the experts at Wing Commander. There's no one who matches us for the sheer ability to talk about Wing Commander for no reason for hours and hours on end. And that certainly goes into it.
We haven't really touched on it, but we, in addition to the website, we go on a lot of Wing Commander-oriented adventures. My annual vacation time away from work for the last decade has almost solely been dedicated, 85% dedicated to going on Wing Commander adventures where, you know, we go talk to people who are on the development team and get them to, you know, tell us the stories, go somewhere where they've got old boxes full of Origin stuff and catalog that material. And we've done that many times, or going to a convention and getting a giant banner printed and dressing up in Wing Commander costumes and going in front of everybody, getting, you know, people in the crowd to get excited and yell out, I remember Wing Commander. Wing Commander's awesome.
It's October 2012 in Austin. Now you all heard it here first.
I'm trying to remember. What were the other Wing Commander sites that we had? We had the Aces. We had Bob's Wing Commander movie website. What else was there?
Dan's Wing Commander.
Yeah, I can speak to this a little. First, let me mention one other incredibly important thing is the rest of the staff. A lot of sites will just let anybody in the world come and be on their staff who wants to help. We never did that. We took the couple of people who were the best in the world at what they did, and Our absolute great example is Chris Van Heck, who we took from a site called WCN, which was
Wing Commander Net.
Wing Commander Net, network. Kind of the
Wing Commander Network, yeah.
Kind of the scuzzy version of the CIC. They were always competing with us, and they were going to be better than us and whatever. And we saw their one good thing was their tech guy, and he's absolutely essential to the CIC today. It's the same with everybody else. I mean, we have the same staff we did when we started. One person has left in all those years. And we added less than one person a year, and people stay active. They do amazing work, and we absolutely couldn't do it without any of them. There was other Wing Commander sites. There was the Aces. There was the SRA, which was the 15-year-old kid that the 15-year-old kid in the Aces used to fight with all the time, and just kind of embarrassed us all. There was TCN, Terran Confederation, something. Which was just a really cool site. That's the site that I think inspired everybody.
The Underground Terran.
Underground, that's right. And there was a ripoff of that. There was some guy who copied all the content and made it lamer looking. There was the Jump Point. Oh, gosh.
And the Wing Commander Aces Club, you know, it was kind of a funny thing. They were, you know, kind of a fan fiction thing. And there was a lot of people who were not very good at fan fiction that kind of skewed what they put out. But they really did a lot of stuff. You know, they had a central portal. They had a membership of people who called themselves Wing Commander Aces, you know, over like 500 people. And they had a big web ring, if you remember what web rings are, which we probably have to describe. But you couldn't just, you know, necessarily Google something and find something on the web back in the day. So you would have bands of Wing Commander websites or any website, and they would be part of a web ring, and each of them would link to each other as if they were in a chain, and you could go from one site to the next site to the next site and wind back up at the first site. And they had a good chain of websites and dedicated to Wing Commander. And again, if you weren't around the web in the 90s, people made websites. You didn't make a Facebook or a MySpace page or a blog. You made a website about something. And that's what everybody did. And that's in a lot of people. There were hundreds of Wing Commander websites if you counted the little GeoCities ones and people, you know, little tiny sites that people made.
Yeah, the problem with the Aces was that they were just the least mature group of people in the world. They spent so much time fighting with one other guy. Origin actually said, we want you guys, Origin wanted them to be the official Wing Commander fan club, the same way the Ultima Dragons were the official Ultima fan club. And they just came and they investigated the Aces, and they were just completely turned off by their weird personalities. They had like six guys who were sure they were professional writers, and no one else was as good as they were. It was a weird culture.
I also remember a lot of infighting.
Yeah, lots of infighting with them, which can be good from a community building standpoint. But you can't let it be the thing that people look at and see in your site.
That's the first, you know, that's the first example of the internet starting to become the modern internet, where you don't have these, you know, graduate students and stuff, you know, having real discussions on things. It's where for the first time. 15-year-olds without their parents over their shoulders started getting online and arguing with other people. And you know, that started to manifest itself in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm. And here we are now.
Here we are now.
Yeah. I guess the next question would be, if you could change one thing in the Wing Commander universe, what would it be?
Okay, well, we can have another confessional thing here. We actually have changed the Wing Commander universe. We did the fiction for Wing Commander Arena. We wrote the Star Soldier manual, pitched it, laid it out, wrote it, everything. That was all WC News staff. And there's going to be more of that in the future. You heard it here first if you listened to this podcast, which you did not.
Big reveal.
We've actually been closely associated with pretty much every published Wing Commander product since before Secret Ops, because we did some fiction for Secret Ops, and
We had the we had the star systems named after me and Loaf and Ace in Wing Commander Prophecy. So that's 1998. We made enough of an impact in prior to that, I guess, to get noticed.
Yeah, absolutely. And for every Wing Commander project we did something on that you've seen, there must be six that you never heard about. Because it must be three times a year, someone from EA or someone who has the TV rights or somebody who has some sub-licensing comes to us and they says, we're working on a pitch for a Facebook game or a new privateer or a MMO or whatever. And we get seriously involved with all this stuff. That's how we spend a good amount of our time. And it so very rarely happens that by the time Arena was pitched, we were just kind of like, are you sure? We don't think this is going to go anywhere. But we always do it. We create an immense amount of fiction and background for projects that never happened.
Yeah. Me and Loaf went to Canada to help with that and playtested it before it was a final game. And like Loaf mentioned, that the Arena manual, Star Soldier, but also just like the flavor text that scrolls along the bottom when a broadsword comes up on the screen in the Wing Commander Arena game, and it talks about how it was a missile boat during the Wing Commander movie era. That's that stuff didn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah, Chris and I actually wrote that in the producer's office, sitting there with Microsoft Word open.
Yeah, like he was narrating the stuff that would be awesome to see in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some of it. Some of it, like, they had ready to go like the next day, a different build with different color ships because we said the ships looked funny.
Things like that. Gosh, there must have been dozens of projects over the years. There was a Wing Commander TV series that I guess after 9/11, everybody wanted sci-fi escapist shows that were also military focused, which is how Hollywood works, I guess. I think Star Trek Enterprise premiered like the month after the 9/11 attacks, and the pilot got tremendously good ratings, and everybody was sure that was the next big thing, and that's where Battlestar Galactica came from, and a couple other projects. And Chris Roberts was all set to go on a Wing Commander series that was going to shoot in Canada, which we did a lot of the pitch for. That never happened. Another big one was a Facebook. No, it wasn't Facebook. It was browser-based game. That was text-based. It was a text-based privateer browser-based game that was being done by Billy Kane's company. This was maybe 4 years ago. And I think EA's budget was $70,000, which isn't really enough to pay one person to work on the game.
Yeah. Billy Kane is a genius. And he poured, so many hours into Wing Commander Prophecy and other games and is so dedicated to the series. And, actually it was kind of unfortunate that this is the budget and this was this is what he was given to make his next big push, and we made the best of that situation.
We absolutely did. We had an amazing, it would have been cool for hardcore Wing Commander fans, because we could write so much fiction, we created a great era for it, and we were going to reuse all these 3D models we happen to have saved from the old games, and it wouldn't have been a great game, but it would have been a cool addition to the Wing Commander universe.
Yeah, like Wing Commander Arena, which is an awesome thing on its own. It's just the headline at Kotaku or somewhere wouldn't have been very flattering, and unfortunately, so many people would have been turned off without even looking at it.
Yeah, we're about to see that happen with Ultima Forever, which is basically the same story, but better than us this time.
Yeah.
I actually know that it's kind of sad about Ultima Forever. The whole thing came about because of us, because we went to EA Mythic to do our archiving project. And for whatever reason, it stuck in Paul Barnett's head that we were Ultima fans instead of Wing Commander fans. And he decided that these dedicated people needed to have their game brought back. That's where Ultima Forever came from. It's going to be interesting seeing it come out. I actually played the alpha. I can't talk about it because I'm under NDA. But it will be interesting.
And it's kind of unfortunate that people are just going to give it a pass and just not like it without experiencing it, when it's obviously something that's important to add to the culture of a long existing gaming series. And yeah, you know,
I'm violating some sort of rule here, but I played it with all these Ultima fans. I'm probably not allowed to tell you I had a pretty good time with it, and they were just brutal about the stupidest things. Oh, this is 1 year into Ultima's future instead of 6 years. The game is horrible. And I think Ultima is obscure enough that that won't matter in the long run, but I think you're also going to get Kotaku and Destructoid and whatever complaining that it's not literally a Richard Gehry game.
Yeah. And this is why I don't read those sites anymore. Okay, now here's a real good question. What's your favorite Wing Commander fighter and why?
It's at this point that we should mention that these questions are in the same order they were in the original podcast. Where
I did not come up with these people. Recycling these.
They didn't. We didn't quite have the sense of narrative at the time. I'm sure I said Ferret at the time. It's a little bit fast for me now that I'm older, which is a terrible thing to say, but is true. I have the most fun with a Scimitar and Super Wing Commander these days. I just like how plodding it is. I don't know. I love all sorts of Wing Commander. I love the Bearcat for its sleek lines. I like the Rapier in the Wing Commander movie just because it's a real fighter that exists and everybody hates, which... You know, I always like those fixer-up cases that nobody else could stand. I'm sure I interact with on Twitter.
I'm sure I said Excalibur last time, which is, you know, it was, I thought everybody loved it because it was super powered and it was just so obviously a winner. And that was actually a major point of discussion and argument in the newsgroup days. People who didn't like the Excalibur, people who liked other major fighters like the Dragon, the Lance, and Wing Commander 4. So that all those arguments and fights in the early Wing Commander days helped cement my appreciation for the ship, even though it is kind of the obvious, easy answer.
Now you're thinking of one person in particular. I think you should give him a shout out.
Hey, Delance, Octavio Mata. He's still out there.
Somewhere.
Oh, he still posts to the CIC forums.
I haven't seen his name in a while. Maybe I'm just prone to not reading his stuff.
Well, he doesn't post to the forums so much, but he does occasionally.
Okay. Yeah,
amazingly, almost 20 years later, I'm Facebook friends with him, and he posts pictures of puppies and dogs most days. I'm not sure why it's in Portuguese.
That's true. Yeah, I get that also.
And he's probably not listening to this, so sorry if you are.
I'm sure no one is listening to it at this point.
Well, hey, you know, we just got to keep going. Maybe somebody will eventually get to the other side.
When we do it again in another 15 years, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
We promise not to do it until then, though. You don't want this every year.
No.
It'll be in 3D holograms or something by then.
Yeah, we'll have little holo projectors like Blair had in his locker or something like that. Let's see. The next one is, what's your favorite Wing Commander era?
Gosh, I guess at the time, Wing Commander divided pretty neatly between Wing Commander 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and Prophecy and Secret Ops. Not anymore now that we recorded this before the movie last time.
Oh, wow.
Everything's all mixed up now, so it doesn't matter. I like the original still. I think everything has its merits. That's such a mom answer, but it's true.
I guess if I think about my favorite eras, I like the eras where Confederation's on a real strong footing. To me, it's depressing when they're losing the war, even though obviously, you know, that makes good drama, makes a good story. I really like when we're just winning, like, and you know, the end run novel's real good. Wing Commander 2 is pretty good. You're on the offensive, good part of that game. A game where just, you know, not a lot of bad stuff happened. You just kept winning. That I like those settings.
I'll tell you what my absolute fantasy era, though, is the one I would live in is Origin Systems 1992. That the whole corporate culture absolutely fascinates me. The history, the creative types they had there. It's one of those creative focal points in video gaming history, and I absolutely wish we knew more about that. You haven't had a developer that matched them.
Cool.
I remember when I was a kid, as I was 13, 14, you know, everybody else had baseball cards. I had the Wing Commander playtesters guys with had little bios of all the people with their sketches in the back, and mm-hmm. I would know all the playtesters and the designers. And point of making the story is that I'm a real weird guy. But the origin history absolutely fascinates me these days. So that's an era that I am interested in. And you're going to see more from it at this month's birthday party. So stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris, if you're listening to the podcast, you might have already seen it.
Yeah, you already saw the cool documents we posted. How was that 1991 draft of the Wing Commander movie, guys? Pretty cool, huh?
When and how did you guys meet?
This is an awesome question because when the first podcast, InfoBurst was recorded in 1998, Loaf and I had never met in person. And so there was the elaborate backstory, which we already talked about with the news group and Wing Commander Home Sector. But 6 months after the CIC opened, Loaf and I went down to Austin for the Wing Commander movie premiere. And that was pretty crazy. I was 16 years old, flying on an airplane to go meet Loaf for the first time.
And now you build the airplanes. Let me answer the actual original question, though, because it's also sort of interesting. I think Chris credited Akbar earlier, and it wasn't necessarily Akbar who brought us together.
Good point.
Basically, what happened was we were both the kings of our particular little pond, and obviously we kind of didn't like the other one because we thought they were the better Wing Commander. You know, they thought they were the better Wing Commander fan than us. And I was the big one. So I guess where we came together was the Worlds of Origin, which was Origin Fan Club at the time, run by Lady Whisper. They had a message board that was like a quasi-official Origin message board. And for whatever reason, both Chris and I deigned to post there. Mm-hmm. And I think we got into a fight about what year Wing Commander 4 took place.
Yep.
And I said 2672 when he said 2673. And to both of our credit, there was absolutely no evidence for either one at the time. In 1997, two or so years later, they would eventually reveal that it was 2673. Chris was right. Came from the PlayStation, Wing Commander 4 PlayStation website, secret file you could access. You can find it at the CIC. It's still hidden. That was how we met, fighting over that date.
Yeah, that's right. And there's the original IRC channel, Wing Commander, which was run by Eagle One. I suppose it was me and Loaf hanging out there that kind of got us to talking with Akbar. And so that's another chapter of our Wing Commander lives.
Yeah, that was actually run by a guy named Bearcat at the time. I have no idea what happened to him. Mm-hmm. I would be curious to know. He kind of reminds me of Bob McDobb, for whatever that means. sorry, Bob. We all hung out at that channel. Ace was there. I actually met Ace through the chat Origin chat zone, and we both went to Pound Wing Commander together and ended up running the place. Getting kicked out for being obnoxious teens. We actually mentioned Eagle One earlier. I should point out that Eagle, he died recently, a couple of years ago, which is a shame, because why would we ever be happy that someone died? My point is that for years he was sure that we had stolen the Wing Commander chat room idea from him, because Neil Young came and talked to all three of us, and then 4 months later there was a CIC, and there was no Pound Wing Commander chat channel that was the official Origin one. So let me say for the record that that absolutely did not happen. He just didn't follow up with Neil Young. We did. there was no conspiracy to kick him out of that at all in any way. So if you're out there, Eagle, sorry.
I guess we have one more question. What do you guys do outside of Wing Commander?
Outside of Wing Commander? No, I have all sorts of very nerdy interests. I'm into space history. Trying to travel around, see the different NASA manned spacecraft and museums. My big thing right now, and I apologize, we're going back to Wing Commander, is building special PCs for Wing Commander games. Basically trying to collect all the rare parts from the 90s that I could never have afforded when I was a kid. I'm on my fourth machine right now. Got a Pentium 3 that does the Windows 98 stuff, an Amiga 4000 for Wing 1 and Amiga, PowerMax 7300 for Super Wing and the Wing 3 and 4, and I'm building a slower Pentium for the original games right now. You know, regular everyday stuff. In the military history, I go to a lot of battlefields, museums, go to like, sci-fi conventions, do a lot of reading. I'm an English major somehow. I'm a lit major. That doesn't come up much in the Wing Commander community. Mm-hmm. Getting ready to go back to grad school. Hopefully I will have been to grad school by the time we do this in 15 years. But normal stuff.
I think my story is probably a lot less interesting to everybody listening. Yeah, I do a lot of regular stuff too. Play a lot of Xbox games. I'm about to have my sixth Xbox 360 through unfortunate coincidences. There's a new limited edition Xbox coming out soon, and they get me every time. Play, you know, normal games, Halo, Resident Evil. Watch The Office, my girlfriend and our dog. World's biggest Super Soaker collector. That's pretty cool. Everybody, I used to talk about that, not so much anymore. But yeah, I was on ABC's 2020 program and in the Sun tabloid in Britain, holding Super Soakers. And I actually do get contacted by TV shows.
Constantly.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Like, you know, every time the TLC, whatever channel, wants to do a new Ultimate Collector TV show, you know, I get an email, and then it's just a lot of work. And I really would like to be appreciated for my Wing Commander fandom, and it just is, unfortunately, it's not as grabby as having almost 400 Super Soakers. So, yeah, unfortunately, I'm notorious for something else, and whenever possible, I try to plug Wing Commander. It didn't make it onto the air, but I definitely talked about Wing Commander a bunch in my 2020 interview. I can't remember if I mentioned it, but where I'm at for 12 hours a day is working at the Boeing 737 factory. I'm the lead industrial engineer for the P-8 airplane, which the Navy is using to hunt submarines, or will be shortly. And it's a derivative of the 737, but it's got missiles and a torpedo bay, and it's cool. So,
sold me on it.
Be yours. $250 million and a lifetime warranty.
Hey, I'll let you know when I have the money. I guess that kind of wraps it up.
Any last words, Chris?
Nope, this is fun. I'm looking forward to 14 years from now so we can do it again.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll be like, what, 45?
45.
Uh-huh.
Well, I would like to say happy birthday to a friend of mine, Spider, and hopefully I will know what that means in 14 years.
You're going to run the filter over this, right, that makes it sound, you know, smooth and cool.
Like adults, yeah.
So,
let me just say, it's absolutely been an honor being the world's biggest Wing Commander nerds for 15 or whatever years, and we hope to do it forever. It's an absolutely great community. We love everybody. They're the reason we come in every day and do this. It's a great group of people. And all that stuff I say about them being the best community in the world and deserving to have a new game, it is absolutely true. There is no better group of fans in the world than Wing Commander. Just got to get that out there.
Yep, love that. Great.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. We hope to have you captivated enough that you'll be back for the next one in another decade and a half. And I guess this is goodbye for now.
And cue some music.